Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark chapter 9. And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." I don't usually forget a manuscript when I write it, but I did today. Thanks, Gib. Wait, this is different. No, I'm just kidding. The father comes to Jesus, believing. The son has an unclean spirit. 'Tis what it is. It's demon possession of some sort. It's also an indication of how Christ works in our lives. There's an encounter with Christ and a confrontation with counter spirits. There's faith in Christ, but constant struggle precisely over Christ. "I believe, help thou my unbelief." "You were dead in trespasses and sins," St. Paul says. This is why the baptismal liturgy of the Christian world to this day has among the vast majority of religions maintained the so-called exorcism, spoken to the devil over the child. "Depart, thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Ghost." That's in Luther's Rite. And thankfully, it's back in our agenda. The exorcism is not the deal. I did this rite for the first time, and I did throughout my ministry in Iowa. First time I had taught my congregation about it. And a man came after me. God bless his soul. He's entered his eternal rest. Roger Decker, Top Deck Farms, pious farmer, came up to me afterwards and he said, "Pastor, I get it. That's what baptism is, isn't it? It's the Spirit of Christ chasing away the unclean spirit." John's Gospel is filled with the word crisis. There's a crisis. You confront Jesus, and something happens, and it's either going to be belief or denial. If we believe, it's God's fault. If we deny, it's our fault. Doesn't make sense, but that's the way it is. Jesus says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, I think he uses the word mikron there, little ones, toddlers who believe in me, to stumble, woe to him. Same context, he mentions brephoi, suckling babes who believe. The Bible says little ones can believe. It's only us fools who say you must become like an adult to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the exact opposite. Acts says whole houses are baptized, including those of the Philippian jailer's house. Baptism now saves you, Peter says. There's a before faith, there's an outside faith, there's an under the law which brings death. The wages of sin is death. Categorically, says Paul. There's a before meeting Jesus for this man and this child, and there's an after. There's the unclean spirit of the devil, there's the spirit of Christ, and the unclean spirit gone. Unfortunately, the current Bishop of Rome has made a veritable career out of comments antagonistic to basic Christianity. Last week, as most of us noted, he said, all religions are paths to God. I will use an analogy. They are like different languages that express the divine. But God is for everyone, and therefore we are all God's children. There's only one God, and religions are like languages, paths to reach God, some Sikh, some Muslim, some Hindu, some Christian. Well, when we compare Christ's own words and the words of his blessed apostles, I think we could say there is certainly one religion that does not lead to God. That happens to be the one of the Pope. Now I say this, frankly, I deal with Roman Catholic people all the time, my own family, who trust in Christ. Wherever the Word of God is, wherever baptism sacrament is, there are Christians. Quite contrary to what your church may teach, or in this case, what hobby horse the Pope is on next week or the week after. But Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I don't understand it. If I were God, I wouldn't make things that way. I'd give free passes to everybody and just forget it. But alas, I'm not God, neither are you. So we're really at a confrontation. We can either make stuff up or believe Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus. Come hell or high water, I'm going to believe Jesus. And I'm going to let God worry about the other stuff. He's a gracious God. I trust him. He'll handle it. Father John was a buddy of mine back in Fort Wayne. I was a parish pastor. We did a neighborhood project, Zion St. Pete's Project for Neighborhood Renewal. When I got there, there were 45 vacant, dilapidated buildings, commercial and residential, within a block and a half of the front door of my church. Joined with the neighboring Roman Catholic Church a block and a half away, we started. I was a slumlord. It's one of the happiest moments of my life, really. I had other people's money, and I was buying houses right and left and calling the city guy, and he'd say, do you need to put these houses on the package, next bid package for demolition? How much is it going to cost? Nothing, Pastor. We'll slip them in. Nobody will know the difference. I noticed the difference. So one day, my buddy Father John says, you know, your predecessor there at Zion was really conservative. Wouldn't even do a joint wedding with me. I said, well, John, that's kind of our canon law. Well, that's awful narrow. So I says to him, you know, John, when I absolve my people, you don't really believe that's a genuine priestly absolution, do you? Well, no. When I consecrate the elements on the altar and give them to my people, you don't believe that's the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, do you? Well, no. but Christ is there somehow. And I said, you deny everything for which I and my people live. How can I stand up there in front of them and act as though that didn't matter? He shut up and never bothered me about it ever again. But we had a great time on the Catholic-Lutheran dialogue. Hermann Sasse said, there's more true unity of the faith where Christians who disagree are honest about those disagreements than when they sweep them under the rug. Luther told a story about the Pope. He said, two brothers walking along in the forest. A bear comes out, jumps on one of them. The other one has a gun. And all of a sudden, boom, he shoots. But instead of hitting the bear, he shot his brother and killed him. Luther said, that's the way the fanatics are about the Pope. They deny that there can be any Christians in the Roman Catholic Church. We don't do that when we're shooting at the Pope. We disagree. But we realize that where Christ's word is, where his sacraments are, there are Christians. Thanks be to God for that. Today's Pope doesn't damn the gospel. Read Denzinger. It was at Luther's time that the Pope did damn the gospel, very squarely. Said, if you believe in righteousness by grace through faith, you are condemned. He doesn't do that today. At Luther's time, he did. He sent thousands of troops and millions of dollars to Charles V to have him destroy the Lutheran princes. It was a different day. You can go to the spot, I've been there several times, the battlefield where 5,000 Lutheran troops were killed or injured, and John Frederick, the Luther's elector prince, captured. Well, that was a big jumble of church and state. It was a mess and ended up doing terrible damage to Lutheranism. Today's Pope doesn't condemn the gospel. Read the official statement of papal statement of papal documents and church documents, Denzinger. Read the joint declaration on justification between the liberal Lutherans and the Roman Catholics. Rome bends over backward to try to agree with the Lutherans. And alas, they never quite concede because they don't quite get grace alone. But here's the problem. Rome now accepts the Lutheran gospel. They say to us coming up to Augsburg 1530, the Augsburg Confession is ours. We're not going to let you Lutherans have it. The Pope accepts all religions, including ours. They all lead to the same place, unquote. That, my friends, and if it's the Pope religion, is the religion that does lead to the same place. It does lead to the same place, hell. Heimer, I bet you thought I forgot about you. We are on about the only religion which leads to eternal life, the religion of Jesus Christ, his blessed incarnation, not myths of Hinduism, his blessed facts, his virgin birth, the historicity of his life, the reality of touching people, caring for them, his real baptism. We know this Jesus. He really sent the apostles out, and he sent them out with a message. But thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That religion saves. Young Heimer, we believe in the atonement of Christ, the real crucifixion, the real hanging of the God-men on the cross for our salvation, for the salvation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. the sin of the world. That's the Christ. That's the gospel. We don't believe in Islam, where at the end of your life you have a scale of good works against bad and you fool yourself throughout life so that you fool yourself at the end that your scale will, of good deeds will outweigh your bad. We believe in the redemption of Christ, not in spiritual consciousness, not of becoming one with all eternity or one with the spirit world or anything like that. Made up religions are only of a handful of sort. Almost all of them emphasize the law completely. We believe in Christ. And that Jesus said, go therefore unto all nations. That's why we reject white nationalism. That's why we reject DEI and any racial view of humanity or Christianity. That's why we treasure all people, no matter where they're from genetically or how different they are, how similar they are. We rejoice. That is our first article gift. I come from somewhere. My genetic line and yours come from places. Those things bring, yes, sometimes difficulties, but they are gifts. It's who God has made you today. And it doesn't matter who. And I can rejoice with your gifts, whether you're from the Dalit caste or the Brahmins or poor white trash or who knows what. We can rejoice for you. And as we rejoice, we speak the gospel for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And thank God we have all kinds of people who aren't waspy, aren't Northern European, who have wonders, believed the gospel, and joined our fellowship. Isn't that magnificent? Quite in spite of us. Sometimes at great cost. Very, very often at great and deep personal conviction. Because they believe this confession of the faith is true. And now we are here with your work. You are nothing. Christ is everything. Working for the Synod will beat you up and build you up at the same time. People will tell you you don't know what you're doing. Other people ignore you. People will want something you can't give them. But you will day by day do what's right, and the gospel will continue to come to more and more people. More and more beautiful people of every background and race. When I came here, I went to meet with Al Berry. He died just a month or two later. It was the last time I ever talked to him. I went up to the office I now reside in, and I said, Dr. Berry, I thought I'd come here and maybe you'd give me some advice about what to do in this place. And one of the things he said was, every day, just walk across the road, pick up a rock, and carry it across. Just one rock every day. And pretty soon, you're going to have a pretty big pile of rocks on the side of the road. That's simple country bumpkin advice. Some of the best advice I ever got. God bless you and your lovely wife and family as you enter this endeavor. For it is for the salvation of the world and the peace of the world that the Lord gives to us and our churches as they continue to come to us in these last days. God grant your work be blessed richly and richly and richly according to his gracious promises. For we know his goals are exactly your goals and your goals his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.